This is Olive, and I'm 11 years old, and I live in Southside.
This is Cooper, and I'm 4 years old.
This is Elena. I'm 13 years old and live in Spickley.
This is Julian. I'm 14 years old and live in Highland Park. And this is the Kidsburg Podcast.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Kidsburg Podcast. We are so glad you can spend a little time with us getting inspired by fascinating people, discovering cool places to explore with kids, and hearing honest answers to the questions we've asked teens from the Pittsburgh area. I'm Melissa Rayworth, Kidsburg's editor, and I'm here with two of my favorite friends and coworkers.
Aw, thanks, Melissa. I'm Christine Sorensen. I anchor the news at KDKA-TV, and I'm a Kidsburg producer, and I'm so excited for this episode today. We are inspiring parents and kids with an interview about entrepreneurship, robotics, and also how to help people using those.
And I'm Kidsburg's director, Yu-Ling Chang. We've got so much good stuff to share with you, but we start every episode first with a Pittsburgh gem, someplace that's truly cool but not everybody in this region may know about. Today, we're talking about Beechwood Farms Nature Reserve. Melissa, I know this is a place you love.
So Beechwood Farms, which is located on Dorseyville Road in Fox Chapel, so not too far from the city, is the headquarters of the Audubon Society of Western PA. It's an incredible nature reserve. It covers 134 acres with 5 miles of trails that you can explore during every season, and they are very kid-friendly. Beechwood Farms is open from dawn to dusk, and they have all kinds of resources there. They've got educational classrooms. They have a center for native plants, so if you're going to be planting stuff in your own backyard, you can learn about that. There's a nature play area for kids and a natural history library and more. One of the things we often mention on Kidsburg is that they also do guided nature walks on Sundays, where a naturalist walks with folks who arrive for the walk and points out birds and plants that are along the nature reserve's trails. So it is such a great place for learning, but it's also just a really peaceful place to take a walk and enjoy nature, and it's such a short distance from the city.
Well, we know how important it is to get kids out in nature, and I think even more so now with their reliance on technology. So it's so great to know places where it's easy and simple to take your kids.
Yeah.
And it sounds like if you want to spend just a little bit of time there, you can, or if you want to spend all day there, you can, which is so convenient for families. I love guided nature walks. I always learn something new, and it makes me feel better because I can't tell my kids about different plants and species or birds. So, yeah. So it's always great to have someone else there.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, we've talked on a lot of these episodes about how important it is to ask questions and to teach kids to ask questions. And I love that idea of walking in nature with a naturalist who, you know, if your child suddenly thinks of something that, you know, you wouldn't have had an answer to, this person can talk with them about whatever they're seeing or hearing or smelling. At Kidsburg.org, we often include events happening at Beechwood Farms in our event stories. And you can find a link to the Beechwood Farms website at Kidsburg.org/podcast.
Pittsburgh is Kidsburg. You're listening to the Kidsburg Podcast.
Pittsburgh is a hub for robotics, and Ray Abel is using robotics to help people with disabilities, using technology so they can participate with others, whether it's social, vocational, or recreational. Zogo by Banson Labs isn't Ray's first business. He's been on Shark Tank with a website business, started a 5K company, and so much more. And we are so excited to welcome Ray to the Kidsburg Podcast to learn more about entrepreneurship and his exciting ventures. Ray, thanks for being with us.
Yeah, I'm glad to be on. Thanks for having me.
So first of all, tell us how you became an entrepreneur.
The story goes back a long way. I was in sixth grade and I started a candy selling company to make some ends meet around the schoolyard. So I always kind of credit that as my early venture into entrepreneurship. But as I got older and graduated and went out into the workforce, I started in sales and just really didn't love selling things to people and decided I wanted to kind of start my own business. And I initially started working in nonprofit at the Muscular Dystrophy Association and then decided maybe I could do something on a broader scale outside of the nonprofit space if I was able to have a company that was successful, and started my first business back in 2012.
Ray, given all your experience, we would love to know what inspired you to start Zogo.
Yeah, so Zogo, we started in 2017 with my co-founder, Dalton, who We both have our own inspirations for it. He grew up with a brother who has cerebral palsy, and my time at Muscular Dystrophy Association just led me to fall in love with working with people with disabilities. Before that, I didn't have any personal experience, which I think is a pretty common theme when people start working in this space. Either they know someone who has a disability and that's why they are passionate about it, or they've done some volunteering or just been around someone that has a disability. And so for me, when we looked at this company, it was a way to be able to help people. And also at the same time, I did love entrepreneurship and trying to get something started from ground up. And so this was a perfect opportunity to work into the startup world, but while doing it for something that was for good, not just, you know, developing the next iPhone app or the newest kind of cable. It was something that would actually change lives.
And explain more specifically what Zogo is and how it is helping people.
Yeah, so originally we started out primarily focused on helping users with disabilities play video games. So our first product was a hardware box that allowed someone in a wheelchair to connect that wheelchair to video game consoles, smart homes, basically anything around them, because oftentimes people with disabilities that are in wheelchairs have grasping issues and aren't able to use standard controllers. And so we were able to allow these unique devices to connect to something they're comfortable with, which is a wheelchair joystick. And our first big partnership was with Comcast, and we allowed their X1 cable platform to be able to do those same things, and that expanded our reach. And now it's been great to see there's a lot of opportunities out there in the hardware space. Microsoft, PlayStation, they all have come out with accessible controllers, which is great, and we're compatible with those. But we've moved more towards the VR space at this point. So currently we're working through a National Science Foundation grant from the SBIR program, and we're developing a VR platform that aids in rehabilitation. So users with disabilities are able to connect to our platform and use gaming rehab systems. So they're able to have some fun while they're learning skills like cause and effect or response times. And therapists often use video games in this setting, and we're taking it into the VR AR space as well.
That's really exciting. And, you know, I think a lot of parents and kids, their relationship with robotics might be an at-home Lego kit that now involves robotics, or maybe a robotics team in schools. What would you say to kids who are thinking, wow, I love doing this. What could I do more with this as I grow up?
This is a really interesting time to be able to start combining some of the robotics, which is typically hands-on and real-life materials, with software coding, because even if you're not a great software coder, AI has come along where it can really help you improve your skills, find bugs, and so it's really sped up the development process. So if you're doing something at home, like a Lego kit that has all of these different functions that can make arms move on a Lego kit, you can actually go through and edit that software and be able to use it to potentially help someone with a disability. And so there's a lot of makers in the space, people who are just trying really hard to get things to work for their family members. And that usually involves old school devices like duct tape or tennis balls or coat hangers attached to wheelchairs. And that's not usually the best way to do it. So if someone has an interest in robotics and also can learn some of the software, that's something that could be huge for helping people that might just need an extra reach from their wheelchair or might need something that helps them drive. And when you can combine those areas together, that could be really impactful for people in this space.
So this is very fascinating to me. And one of the things I saw on your website in the video is some of the technology that you're using, right, that you just talked about, the robotics, the technology, the VR, and how it also brings in other family members into helping their child or sibling with a disability. And it almost makes it feel like they're doing something together where they're playing video games. And I was wondering if you could speak a little bit to the impact that you've seen on these kids and their families.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing here. And I think going back to how our company was started, my co-founder used to play a game called Mario Kart with his two brothers.
A lot of us know that game.
It's a great game. And if you're not familiar with it, there are power-ups where you can drop banana peels or throw turtle shells at people. And that was one of the rare games that was available where you could split controls between two people. And so two of the brothers would play together because one of them had grasping issues, and he would just do the power-up. So one guy would steer, and he would go ahead and throw those bananas and throw those turtle shells and be able to race against his brother. And that was the only video game they could play. And so that's where the idea came from, was how can we take this from that one game and convert that into all games? And I mean, that's such a great feeling when you see someone who has been kind of limited to watching. That's what you'll often see in this space, people who are enjoying watching their family members and brothers and sisters playing games, but now they get to jump in, and seeing that smile on their face is pretty amazing. And a lot of games now are starting to build that in, but if they haven't had it built in, you can use these co-pilot features to be able to switch up those controls and make it accessible for everyone.
Yeah, and there's a beautiful video on Banson Labs' website where you can see the joy in these families. So you've started several entrepreneurial ventures. What have you learned along the way by starting these various companies, and what advice would you have for kids who might also be future entrepreneurs?
I think that my biggest advice is that just getting out there and doing some of these things, it's a powerful experience. Whether you succeed, whether you fail, it's an education you can't get in a typical setting. If you go to college, you can learn a lot of great information. But once you get out of college, try a business, because you're going to learn about taxes, and you're going to learn about regulations, and you're going to learn how to hire people. There are 800 things you have to do every day that you've never done before when you're doing a startup or a new business. And once you're out of there, normal jobs seem much easier too, because when I got started at 20 years old working in retail sales, I thought it was a huge ordeal. And now looking back, it's pretty straightforward and pretty simple. When you're trying to run your own business, it's a completely different world. And so I think that's the first part. And number two is just figure out something you love and do it. Like I said, for me, it was buying and selling candy. It was Jolly Ranchers in sixth grade. And I wasn't raised with a lot of money in my family. And so that's the way I was able to afford snacks and clothes, and just started young and just started seeing how you make a profit. And so really just getting out of there and kind of getting over your fears, I think that's a huge part of it. You just have to know that, even like I said, even if you fail, you're still going to learn so much, and it's still going to be a beneficial experience. So anyone who's thinking about starting a business, do the research, try to find out as much as you can before you get started, and then just go for it. And you'll also know that you, even no matter how much you research, there's going to be 800 things you forgot about, and you'll learn them as you go, and you're going to come out a better person ahead of the game.
Well, Ray, you've really been inspiring for all of us, especially the work you're doing to help people with disabilities with your entrepreneurial spirit. Thank you so much for being with the Kidsburg podcast today.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. I loved talking with you guys, and happy to help whenever I can.
This was fantastic. Thank you, Ray.
Thank you.
That was fascinating. I'm so glad that you guys interviewed Ray. That was really interesting. One of the things that struck me was that he realized that working at a nonprofit wasn't the only way to help people, that he could really make a difference in people's lives and be doing so much good for the community, but also using his love of entrepreneurship and building on that skill that he knew he could bring to all this. I think most people wouldn't think of that. Normally, when we talk about doing good or we look for opportunities to do good, we think of nonprofits and things like that.
And I know so many of our kids are excited about technology, and it's just neat to see that there are so many career doors opening for mm-hmm. them to do this, and then to put in their minds, hey, maybe you could use this for good.
Yeah.
And I love how my takeaway from how he said, just start your business, just do it. You're going to learn so much, but you just got to do it.
Yeah. And he's so right. When you do it and start your own business, you probably are going to learn 800 things that you can't learn unless you just do it.
Well, seriously. And I love that he said that, you know, in some ways, other things are going to seem easier if you give this a shot. I think these days for a lot of people, starting a business doesn't have to be your entire income. It can be your side hustle. Even for kids, you know, we hear about kids, they kind of start some little side business. It's a great learning opportunity.
I love that he said, figure out what you love and just do it. You can find a link to Ray's website at kidsburg.org/podcast. His work is really inspiring, and it's incredible to see his commitment to making life easier and better for people with disabilities. In a moment, you'll hear some honest talk from local teens about the way that grown-ups could make their lives easier.
You're listening to the Kidsburg Podcast.
Pittsburgh is Kidsburg.
Have you ever wondered how you could really be there for the kids and teens in your life? The students at SLB Radio's Youth Media Center helped us out by asking fellow students that question. What would make your teenage life a little bit easier? Let's hear what they said.
Something that would make my life easier is people not having to pay for school. stuff that makes my life easier. Definitely in like a school environment, I have to stay. Like extending deadlines is a huge vital thing because deadlines are really, really harsh. The creative process, it takes a long time.
Sometimes I just wish I had like more hours in the day to just like rest.
Transportation. Like I like to go places. I'm a very adventurous person. Transportation is a big problem because my mom doesn't feel like driving me around 24/7. And I'm 14, I can't drive. And I don't think they'll let me on the road.
Ubers and stuff, they're easy to like to order, but sometimes they charge like a lot just to go 2 miles. And I feel like that could be cheaper.
I'm Zanea.
Hi, my name is C.
My name is Isolera. I'm 13.
Hi, I'm CW. I'm in 9th grade and I go to City Charter High School.
From the Youth Media Center at SLB Radio, this is Lisa.
We covered a lot in this episode, and we've got much more coming in the next Kidsburg podcast episodes.
In fact, we have 6 podcast episodes this fall, and you can check out the 6 that we dropped last spring as well.
Just go to kidsburg.org/podcast to find them all. And be sure to sign up for our free weekly Kidsburg newsletter to find all the articles and online guides that we put out each week to help grown-ups with the big, beautiful job of parenting in the Pittsburgh region and beyond.
Thanks so much for joining us for this Kidsburg podcast.
This is Rocco. I'm in 7th grade and homeschooled, and this is the Kidsburg podcast.
On the next Kidsburg podcast, we talk with Jam Club mentor Maureen Frew, who helped launch the Be the Kind Kid movement. Plus, we introduce you to Voluntots, an organization that gets even the littlest kids involved in doing good. And we spill the tea with teens, asking them for insight into what they're really grateful for.
Until then, we hope you'll visit kidsburg.org to learn about all kinds of resources and get expert advice on raising the kids you love.